Blog Talk Radio.
Manifesting right in front of our faces, yet we don't find the traces and the spaces and the places where they're manifesting. But don't be surprised when some big miracles come piping down into creation very soon for each every nation. Soulful revelation. Baruch Hashem, blessed is our Creator. You're now tuned into Blog Talk Radio. This is a program called Soul Talk Radio. Soul Talk number 795, Proverbs Teachings to Access Wisdom and Righteousness, Presentation number 18. We humbly assert we're the higher inner frequency of Block Talk Radio. My name is Don Zosiukuman. I'm your local international cyberspace Torah Askan, Torah activist. Blessed is our eternal creator, Baruch Hashem, Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family condition. With the Creator's help, our next broadcast is taking place right now on October 22nd at 11:33 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, equals, a.k.a. equals USA, equals Unified Soul Actualization. An essential topic for discussion will be sharing the written and oral Torah traditions regarding King Solomon's Proverbs, one of the most powerful teachings from the Israelite Tanakh, Torah, Prophets, Holy Writings. If you want to make the program a little bit more organic, our calling number is 563-999-3688. 563-999-3688. Meanwhile, may the eternal creator bless and protect you and your blessed ones peacefully and pleasantly. And we're listening to When You Believe by the Maccabees. We're going to turn it down and get right into the shoe. Okay. So also, I just want to mention that the tags for today's program are Eternal Creator, Universal Redemption, Divine Image, Divine Image of Israel connecting to the Divine Image of the Children of Noah, Galif Galifu, Written Oral Traditions of Israel, Adam Kadmon, Rishimo, Akhtus Peshuta, Kadmon, Echad Yochid. This is all, I wrote this last night, and I posted it on my Facebook page. We have a club called Torah Meditation Club, which I believe we had about, let me just make sure, I think we have about 500 members for the club, and there's a lot of active dialogue going on over there. Some people contribute. A lot of it's my own contributions. We cut and paste this program into, we have 530 members, by the way. And it's basically designed for people who want to learn about the cognitive branch of his Hizbonanot of meditations. Said, I just want to mention that as far as our listening audience, America still holds a wide margin in terms of listeners. At 84.40% of our listening audience, followed by Canada, 3.55%, followed by Australia, the land down under. If you turn the world upside down, it's the world on top, right? At 2.84%, tied for that third place is Jamaica, the diamond in the Caribbean, 2.84%, followed by Israel, 2.13%. We've lost our South American audience, I guess because we haven't been broadcasting that frequently. We've lost our African audience, but we still have Russia and Germany and I believe France, Canada and America. Okay. So not, we kind of lost a little of our audience, but hopefully we'll regenerate by having more frequent broadcasts because people generally appreciate consistency and want to turn into who is consistently delivering the same message with different themes to amplify the previous broadcast. So this is, again, I want to read something that I wrote last night based on the teaching of Rav Mechol Abergel, based on the teachings of his father, Rav Havda ben Chaim Lachaim, Rav, I think it's Yisrael Abergel. And these are teachers of Torah. Rav Abergel, before he passed on to the next level of life, Rav Yoram Mechol Abergel is the father, and Rav Yisrael Abergel is the son. So I saw a teaching by them last over the Shabbat, and I want to share with you how I'm re-spinning it to make it a little more accessible to someone who may never have access to these types of teachings. So here we go. Blessed is our eternal Creator. When was the last time you thought about emanating grace and sharing it with other blessed souls anointed never to be disappointed with a divine image? One to accomplish this lofty human experience must be willing to transcend oneself and recognize the existence of another human being, no matter who he or she is. One must dedicate oneself to purifying his or her heart so that it can unite with his or her mind. Once such a unity transpires, a person can now access divine wisdom. A mind actually can become so purified that he or she, with their blessed mind, can access divine light, morphing into pure faith in the Creator of all creation. One must also guard oneself against engaging in robbery, adultery, blasphemy, idolatry, eating the limb of an animal before it dies, promoting the righteous laws to unify his or her greater community. One then can merit to exuding grace from within oneself, and others will be attracted to a human being filled with grace. If you choose this option for a life, affirming lifestyle, don't be surprised other human beings seek your counsel, presence, and attention. An example of such a human was Noah from the book of Genesis. He found grace according to the Creator and merited all forms of inanimate life, vegetable life, animal life, and human should be withstand the swirling waters of the second and last great flood that was revealed within this creation. So you might ask, was there a great flood before the time of Noah? If so, when did it take place? So stay tuned to the answer to that question. So hopefully next week in our program we'll talk about that first flood, which was several generations before the generation of Noah. Now, concerning Noah, we see in chapter 6, verse 8 in the book of Genesis, that it says that Noah, in relation to other human beings and his family, found favor or grace in the eyes of God. He and his family were righteous, so the Almighty selected them to be the ones to survive the impending flood, ensuring the survival of the doomed animal species and regenerating humanity afterwards. It was based on a teaching from the Lubavitch Rebbe, volume 15, pages 27 to 31. So let's examine, what's this idea of grace, blessed souls, or finding favor in the eyes of others? I know for some years back, I remember there was this whole big stir concerning the laws of attraction. I think there was another book, there was a book written several decades ago in the 20th century, How to Make Friends and Influence People, How to Influence People and Make Friends. I forgot who wrote it, but we're talking about a different type of favor one can find in other people. But those, according to the Torah perspective, Torah meaning an instruction, ultimately an instruction from the Almighty through the prophets of Israel, sages of Israel. So again, I plucked from a teaching from Rabbi Yoram Mechol Abergel and the son of Yisrael. So I want to go a little bit deeper into this teaching. So our sages of Israel has said that there's something called Metziat Chen, finding favor and charm. It's also referring to grace. When something appeals to a person, all logical arguments fall away, and that person gravitates towards that which finds favor in their eyes. But how can we generate this charm, this favor, this grace within ourselves? So they advise that the main task that we live out our 120 years, whether it be literally 120 years or figuratively speaking, is to create some sort of unity between our minds and our heart. Wisdom and knowledge are found in the brain for us to perceive what is good, what is bad, what is truthful, and what's the opposite of truth. Okay, but so I think I have an emergency call, so just go on hold for a moment. Okay, but since we're back, we had an emergency call. I'm on call 24/7. And, So there has to be a connection between mind and heart, heart and mind. When there is a connection between heart and mind and heart, or head and heart, reason, solid human reasoning, can guide and desire, guide and direct the desires of the heart. And thus a person can live in harmony with themselves, which in turn brings them satisfaction and joy. And when a person senses satisfaction and joy and happiness, it can permeate their entire being and irradiate outside of themselves, illuminating everything around them. Naturally, others wish to be close to such a person who makes them feel, too, that life is uplifting and joyous. That attraction that such a person, you know, emanates out, called favor, it's also called chen, charm, which is a composition of two Hebrew letters, ches and nun, chen, chen. Now, knowledge, which is residing in the mind, within the head, is represented by the Hebrew letter ches, or chet, while the heart is represented by the letter nun. When they work in tandem, they create chen. Now, if a person cannot unite their head with their heart, their knowledge with their desire, when the mind wants one thing and the heart longs for another, unfortunately, we see that a person can experience internal disharmony, which leads to dismay and depression. This naturally repels other people from them. Now, as someone who's in the field of social services and dealing with people with depression and dismay, as well as trauma, there could have been outside, and most of the time there are outside environmental forces that can cause a person to really be in disconnection with the mind and the heart and the heart and the mind. And it's another discussion for another program, not necessarily in our presentation, how do we bring some sort of unity between mind and heart and mind? However, going further, it is written in Proverbs, chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, which we hope to cover some of this matter from. We won't get to chapter 5 today in Proverbs, but rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. And the Gemara, the Talmud in Erevin, the 54th page, the second side, tells us, this is referring to our Holy Torah. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said, the Torah is called a graceful deer to tell us that whoever studies it is granted charm in the eyes of others. And Rashi, also a primary elucidator in the oral Torah tradition, said everyone praises this person, and this person's Torah grants him charm. So that's something about charm, blessed souls, that and Rabbi Na'ar, let me add one more thing, that when a person is able to find favor within the Creator's perception, not a perception that we know as human beings, but a godly perception from the ultimate Creator, when a person has found favor in the eyes of Creator, as Noah did, and all of us are replications at some microcosmic level of that prophet of ancient days, know that through Torah, our prayers and our requests are accepted. For the Torah is called a graceful deer to teach us that whoever studies Torah is granted charm in the eyes of others. And when you find charm in the others because of the charm you're exuding out, because of the joy and happiness you have in your lot in life, Therefore, your prayers and requests are accepted. And this is the way of the tzaddikim, who they are usually identifiable as people whose prayers are heard and actions take place corresponding to the prayer that was made. So with that being said, blessed souls, another person who had, or it's not explicitly written about him in the Torah, who found favor in the Creator, but was blessed powerfully by the Creator, was no one other than Avraham. And in the 12th chapter, the third verse in the book of Genesis, Israel, we say this is Parshas Lech Lecha, the portion of going out, going out from your land and your birthplace, your father's house, to a land that I will show you. In the third verse of that chapter, a powerful prophetic blessing was bestowed and anointed upon Abraham and all his descendants. But this powerful blessing bestowed upon Abraham, and all his descendants is also something that the nations of the world, the children of Noah, can access as well. Let's look at this verse. The Creator tells Avraham, this is a prophetic teaching, that he tells him, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, that all the families of the earth will be blessed according to you. So, what are we talking about here, blessed souls? The Lubavitcher Rebbe, commenting on this teaching, I'm just making my footnote right here, I'm going to have to put on my glasses because we are getting a little older. Actually, in a teaching by the Rebbe's father, Levi Yitzhak, Schneerson, is explanation of a piece of Zohar, that in the first part of the blessing, I will bless those who bless you, the Almighty mentions his own blessing before those of others. I will bless those who bless you. In the second part, the sequence is reversed. God mentions others' curses before mentioning his own. He who curses you, I will curse. What are we talking about here? So according to the Rebbe's father, this means that the Creator blesses those who are about to bless. By the way, his name was Abram. He wasn't called Avraham until he had his circumcision. That's a discussion for another program. That the Almighty will bless those who are about to bless the seed, or Abram, or Abram, which he knows Avraham and the seed in the future, even before they actually bless him. But he will curse Abram's or Avraham or Ibrahim's enemies only after they have actually cursed him. So you see, listeners, just the positive thought, the desire to bless the seed of Abraham will guarantee you a blessing even before you bless the seed of Abraham. Whether you want to consider the seed of Abraham the children of Israel, I know people want to dispute who we are, the Jewish people, we don't dispute it, we acknowledge that who we are. And we have plenty of proof, logistically, spiritually, even DNA is wise to prove it. We don't need DNA to prove that we're Jews. If it needs to be brought out for the sake of discussion, we can do it. So I just want to show that to you, blessed souls, because there's so much hatred right now, flowing around the world right now, over with the contentiousness that's taking place in the Holy Land of Israel. And people have the right to protest. People have the right to be angry. If people have the right to be hateful in their anger, hateful in their protesting, that's something between them and the Creator. I'm not going to mix in with that. That's something between you and the Creator. So that being said, I want to think out loud that we want to encourage anyone wherever you are around the world, whether you acknowledge who you know as the Jewish people, or if you want to just acknowledge, okay, it's your choice, you have freedom of choice, to bless our cousins, the Arabic peoples, or the Islamic faith Christian faithful as well, because you can't distance the Abrahamic tradition from the Christian tradition or the Islamic tradition, because it preceded both of them. You know, more than 1,000+ years from the Islamic tradition, which started in the 600, I think, in the 7th century Common Era, and Christianity burgeoned or emerged in the 1st century, and then has gone through many reformations, of course, we know into this day. Bless all those who are students of Abraham. Ibrahim. See what happens. I won't be surprised if you have a sense of contentment. I won't be surprised if you see blessings in life. I can't promise you any of it. But, you know, use that energy. And the law is the conservation of energy. Energy is neither destroyed or created. It's just merely directed into different forms. So if we have this human energy, this soulful energy, this energy which is connected to our intellect, which is connected to our Tzelem Elohim, our divine image, then we are well advised to think about these matters. But how can we direct blessings upon the entire human condition? And by the way, something I forgot, I mentioned in brief, but in today's Torah portion, where Avram or Abram or Ibrim was blessed by the Creator with the blessing I just mentioned, I'll just I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you, I will curse, and all the families of the earth will be blessed by your name. It doesn't say races. This colored race, that colored race, this different hue, that different hue. Is the families of the earth. And this is, I think, one of the things that, in my humble opinion, I may be wrong, but I think I'm humbly stating and even asserting that we're going to see with the messianic redemption, which is earmarked by no more hatred, jealousy, and unnecessary competition one against the other, that we're going to reconnect to our sense of family responsibilities, as now, I think it's 8 billion plus stewards of the earth. Something to think about, blessed soul. Something deeply to think about. Another thing I think I want to bring out before we get to reading from Psalms. Proverbs. I'm going to try to find another book I have on translations of the Psalms, in particularly chapter 20, which I'll have to go to my bedroom. I was browsing it yesterday on Shabbos afternoon. Let me go get it. So in the meantime, we'll just sing a little Chassidus Shenigan until we get the book. Okay. I have here you see my voice is a little bit hoarse, a little fighting a cold here, but still we can hopefully persevere. And this is something which applies to every human being at this point, because I think most people are distressed over the situation, not just in Israel, Middle East, but around the world, in a time where there should be so much bounty that starvation should be ended, and war should be ended, and hatred should be ended, and jealousy should be ended. So, for the conductor of Song of David, this is chapter 20, verse 1. Verse 2 in chapter 20, may the Almighty answer you on the day of distress. So the David mentions, when the lines of the enemy are drawn up against you and danger is imminent. The Midrash Shachar Tov quotes the following verse, which expresses the Almighty's response to Israel's call. In chapter 91, verse 15, he will call out to me, meaning the Creator, and the prophetic. This, by the way, chapter 91 was written by Moses, the mighty Levite prophet. So from prophetic spirit, Moshe, Moses, a loudspeaker for the Almighty, quotes that the Creator says, he will call out to me. Creator says, I will answer him. When misfortune threatens Israel, and they express concern for the preservation of my honor as well as their own, now surely respond. And I am with him, Israel, in his distress. When Israel realizes that they represent God and their downfall is tantamount to the disgrace of the name, then surely the Almighty will save him, for his own honor is at stake. You might say, what is the Creator concerned about his own stake? At his own stake and his own honor? Again, we're not talking about the type of honor that human beings seek. Continuation of verse 2, may the name of Jacob's God make you impregnable. Jacob, one of the three patriarchs of Israel, found himself in situations of distress throughout his life, more distress than Abraham and Isaac. Therefore, in Genesis 35, verse 3, Jacob said, the God who answers me on the day of my distress. Furthermore, Abraham had another son, Ishmael, and Isaac had Esau. But Jacob was the father of the nation of Israel exclusively. Therefore, when we seek salvation, we call upon the God of Jacob. Also, the name of Jacob refers not only to the individual patriarch, but the entire people of Israel collectively, as we often find in scriptures. That's according to Radak. May you dispatch your help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. Verse 3. Where is the sanctuary? Where the Holy of Holies resides inside the temple, where the Holy Ark rests, and God's Spirit dwells. From there shall go forth divine aid in battle, from the Radak. Now, right now, unfortunately, the Holy of Holies is in ruins. I took a tour of the area that's below the earth that parallels where the Holy of Holies is, and you feel something very special over there, blessed souls. The Malbim talks about that idea of being dispatched help. It refers to the main cause of salvation, which helps one in distress. King David prayed that his primary aid should emanate out of the holy place and not from unholy sources. And concluding that it is the holiness of the nation of Israel themselves and their sacred deeds and words that are their main ally in battle. Verse 4, chapter 20. May you remember all your sacrifices and consider your burnt sacrifices generous, Selah. What are we offering to the Creator? We offer up our thoughts, our speech, our action. Now, because we can't bring animal sacrifices. Therefore, this is what we can use to cause above a remembrance. Now, the Creator doesn't have to remind of anything. The Creator doesn't forget. But since we're dialing into that divine remembrance to serve as a protective force in our journeys in this world. Verse 6 in chapter 20, that we may sing for joy at your victory and raise our banner in the name of our God when the Creator fulfills all your requests. When one is saved by a person, the Savior designs the rescue any way he wishes, even if it's not the scheme most favorable or desirable to the one in danger. Not so, by the Holy One, blessed be He. He brings about the victory exactly according to the wishes of those being saved. Number 6 in chapter 20, verse 6. When we sing for joy at your victory and raise our banner in the name of our God, when the Creator fulfills all your requests. Actually, I was quoting from an explanation chapter on verse 5. May He grant you your heart's desires and fulfill your every plan. So when the Creator will grant all of your desires, you will successfully return from war, we will short out of joy. That's from the Radak, of course, because war is over. And we can go back to peacetime living. When one calls out for assistance from another human being, He or she cannot proudly exult in the ultimate victory, for he has shown weakness by calling for outside help. Not so who calls upon the Creator for help. He may glory in the victory as it was his own personal achievement, because he deserves credit for being wise and faithful enough to call upon God rather than rely upon his own strength or allies. Now I know that the Creator has made his anointed one victorious. He will answer him from the sacred heaven and the omnipotent, potent victories of his right arm. Rashi quotes King David, or Rashi looks at this verse by King David, Na'am Zmirat Yisrael, the sweet singer of Israel. Rashi comments, "Now I, David, know that God still desires me, his anointed one, for the victorious salvation of Joab, and the army is nothing less than my own personal salvation." Now I know that the Creator has made his anointed one victorious, will answer him from the sacred heaven with the omnipotent victories of his right arm. Now, here's a very powerful teaching right here, which I think many people are aware of. Verse 8, chapter 20, "Some through chariots and some through horses, but we in the name of Creator, our God, call out." And Rashi, commenting on this verse, chapter 20, verse 8, "So our attackers place their trust in strong iron chariots. Some place their trust in the strength of the horses. The Malbim comments, to understand what King David is alluding to, the Malbim quote, understands that David is acknowledging, "Now I know that the Creator manages my affairs supernaturally. I will no longer concern myself with standard armaments of war, Though the enemy comes armed with chariots and war horses, I need only mention God's name to overcome him." Very powerful stuff. "They slumped and fell, but we rose invigorated." Chapter 20, verse 9. Being the enemy chariot riders. "But we arose," Radak says. We originally fell before the enemy, arose and boldly overwhelmed him when we mentioned the Creator's name, and we were invigorated. This is referring to denoting the encouragement and reinforcement of someone whose spirits are lagging. Verse 10, "Hashem, Creator, saved it. The King will answer us on the day we call." Now the Midrash Shachar Tov mentions this psalm with a long list of quotations which demonstrate how Israel and her leaders are answered only when they call out in prayer. For this reason our nation is called Toelis Yaakov, the worm Yaakov. Just as the tiny worm attacks the mighty cedar boring holes with nothing more than its mouth, so too Israel is armed with nothing more than the prayers of her mouth. So we are fighting spiritual wars and sometimes physical wars, unfortunately. But that point of us fighting a spiritual war must involve the use of our tongue, emanating the words, hopefully brimming up from the depths of our heart, inspired by the intellect of our mind with a simple faith that engaging in prayer can bring about wondrous things within the creation. Turning now, and because I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, I don't know if I'm going to do the entire last 24 minutes of the program. Maybe do 4 or 5 verses, and then we'll go on our way and wish everyone a great week. So chapter 2 in Psalms, King Solomon wants us to know. And if you want to, last week we covered, I think, chapters 1 through 7, at the beginning of chapter 2 last week, when Dennis Ryan, our co-host, was available. Hopefully next week he'll be available. "To keep the paths of justice and watch the way of his pious." To keep the paths of justice, Rashi says, "For though through it they will keep the paths of justice, he will guard the way of his pious so they do not stumble." Verse 9, "Then you shall understand righteousness, justice, and equity, every good path." Ibn Nachmayesh explains that the straight path which one can traverse quickly. The Wertheimer explains, Malbim and Wertheimer were contemporary. I don't know the time period of Ibn Nachmayesh. I know the Malbim was late 20th century, and I don't know when Wertheimer was from. It's a straight path which one can traverse quickly. Wertheimer explains it's a circuitous route. And concerning that you should understand righteousness, justice, and equity, the verse is elliptical. The intention is that you shall understand equity, you shall understand every good path. So we see that there's many ways to be on the good path, blessed souls. Even outside the realm of Torah, at times when there's no access to Torah. Because Torah, as we mentioned in previous weeks in the presentation of Proverbs, is constantly being drawn down into the world, whether automatically, the sustaining of the creation on a superficial level, and the internalized form of sustenance, the nation of Israel, for those of the children of Israel, of Noah, learn the Torah in order to keep their seven Noahide commandments. Verse 10, when wisdom comes into your heart and knowledge shall be pleasant to your soul. So Ibn Nachmayesh and Mitzvah David want to explain, when your heart is being permeated by wisdom, after you toil to master, the knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. And it'll watch over you. When wisdom will come into your heart by itself, that the knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. A person does not appreciate the sweetness and the pleasance of Torah when he must toil to master it. It is only after it comes into the heart by itself that he appreciates its pleasantness. So like the perk of learning Torah, the pleasantness that arrives in the person's heart. Thought shall watch over you, discretion shall guard you. Which thought? Rashi says, the thought of Torah, which is the thought of wisdom, will watch over you, according to Mitzvah David. To save you from an evil way, from a man who speaks perversity. That's verse 12. To save you from an evil way, from a man who speaks perversity. There are people who distort matters. And there are people who distort the words of Torah after his or her erroneous view. These are apostates who distort the words of the Torah to evil. Perversity also means, according to Ibn Ezra, things that are not true or proper. So we'll leave it there. Hopefully next week we'll continue starting at verse 13, chapter 2. In the meantime, I just want to wish everyone a safe week. I hope it's a week where you're thinking good thoughts about your neighbors, whether they be of your own nation, your own family. And we're going to wind up with a song that I have been using to segue out of, you know, the last several programs. Not everyone, but, you know, some of them, majority of them. It's One Day, which was originally composed by Matisyahu, and the Maccabees turned it into an a cappella song, meaning the only instrumentation you're hearing is their blessed voices. One day, blessed souls, one day we're going to have peace. One day we're going to have no more jealousy. One day, blessed souls, we're going to have no more competition in the spirit of Ahavachad, one love. Gor Elachad, one destiny, Kolon of all of the Darkest Shalom. And remember, you should never feel disappointed that you've been anointed with the Tzemel Elokim, your human intellect, in a way of peaceful and pleasant experiences. Take care, everyone.
light of life.